Manning to the arrival of the mayor, Councilman Cody Ramsey, and the chief of police, Officer Peter Montgomery.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Please remain upstanding for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton's Reconciliation Statement. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants, past and present. And can I add future to that as well? You may be seated. Okay, it's a very special evening tonight. I'm going to call for apologies and leaves of absence.
There are no apologies this evening, nor requests for leave of absence, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Could I ask for a suspension of standing orders while we make some milestone history here?
Madam Mayor, I so move the suspension of standing orders.
Councillor Hardy, is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner, the motion before us to suspend standing orders has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Okay. Excuse me while I get organised here. We now come to a special part of the evening, the journey to the G. Is it the Muller Wills Foundation message book presentation? The Journey to the G message book is making its own journey that began with Victoria's Western District, will end in Melbourne, and is stopping off along the way at 11 municipalities. I am so humbled and privileged that it has arrived in the city of Melton. To begin the proceedings, I would like to invite the wonderful Jane Nathan, Chair of the Muller Wills Foundation, to come forward. This is the statement that's going to be in the book on behalf of the Melton City Council and its community. Melton City Council acknowledges the skill and commitment shown by the all Aboriginal cricket team in the 1860s. First, in the 1866 Boxing Day match with the Melbourne Cricket Club, and secondly, as the first Australian cricket team to tour England. It is a story of triumph, enduring spirit in overcoming the racial inequality of the day. Racial inequality still exists. We acknowledge the past injustices faced by our First Peoples and are committed to play our part in ensuring that these injustices are not repeated. We appreciate that we still have a long journey ahead of us. The heart of sport can successfully drive this process of reconciliation. It breaks down barriers and unites people of all races to join together for a common purpose. It promotes understanding, tolerance, and humility. United, we are a powerful force against adversity. Well done. Well done to the Mulla Wills Foundation and as organisers of the Journey to the G in bringing everyone together to celebrate these important messages. Now that will be drafted in the booklet and we will all, as councillors and our chief executive, sign. I want to just finish this speech and then we'll go over and do that, and I'll hopefully stop shaking at the enormity of what we're about to do. Participation is an initiative with celebration, and by adding to the message book, it gives Melton City Council a way to formally recognise the achievements of the Aboriginal Cricket Tour of 1866 and its subsequent tour of England in 1868. The message book's Journey to the G retraces the All Aboriginal Cricket Team 1866 trek from the Western District of Victoria through many towns, including Melton, to play in the Boxing Day match in Melbourne against Melbourne Cricket Club. The message book is being passed on along its journey to 11 municipalities, so the local schools, sports clubs, community groups can add a message of reconciliation and support. The message book will be finally presented to the Melbourne Cricket Club at the MCG on Boxing Day. It is now my honour to add my signature to that message book. So let's go. Do you want to come up with me? Okay, I would like to now invite my fellow councillors, Councillor Turner, my deputy mayor, and Councillor Majlik to go up and sign the booklet, please. Councillor Carley and Councillor Bushy. Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kesich and Councillor Mendez. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm going to ask the wonderful Jay Nathan to come back up here and give us a speech, but could I also have Ian, Sally and Matt join her, because these are the wonderful people that have been all involved in getting the book to our relevant community stakeholders. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and to all the councillors, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Bob Turner, and everybody around the table for your very, very warm welcome. This started out over a beer, as a lot of good things do, when we were in the West Wimmera and we were at the Johnny Muller Centre in Harrow. Now, there's not much else in Harrow, but in going into Harrow, and you all must go there and have a look at this centre because it is absolutely stunning, we realised that the celebration of the All Aboriginal cricket team, which was the first sporting international team to play overseas from Australia, being All Aboriginal, started in 1865-66. The celebrations had always been in 1868, but if they hadn't moved through the communities and with the support of the different communities and with the invitation from the Melbourne Cricket Club to come and play an exhibition match at the G, 1868 would not have happened. So we got in touch with the communities, and your CEO, along with numerous others, all immediately understood the opportunities existing by connecting with this great story. As your mayor so eloquently said, it is a story of intrigue and layers of murder and mayhem, of institutional... I can't think of the word to say without putting institutions into a bad light. But the difficulties that can arise from dealing with institutions. The hijacking of the Aboriginal teams, sailing out of Queenscliff up to Sydney and then across to England. The fact that they played 47 matches in England, 14 they won, 14 they lost, and the others were a draw. But the most important part was that the communities came together, caring and sharing, learning and skilling up through sport. So the Muller Wills Foundation is all about recognising the opportunities for reconciliation through sport, involvement through sport, to lift and give everybody involved the confidence that they need to manage the changing world and the difficult world we live in. To Melton Council, thank you so very much for your wonderful reception, and your signatures will become part of history, because I believe that the book won't stop at the MCC on Boxing Day. It will be going back. It's going up to Alice Springs. It will then come back for the March 13th match in Harrow, and then we will believe it will go overseas to Lourdes. So, Madam Mayor, thank you very, very much. We'd like you to present with just the journey so far, and Melton is in there, and I've got a little card for you and for the councillors to say thank you on behalf of the Muller Wills Foundation.
Madam Mayor, I think I'll also want some photo around the book.
Oh, this is your first song?
Okay, could I have a procedural motion that we resume standing orders?
Madam Mayor, I so move the resumption of standing orders. But prior to doing that, I'd like to thank the Muller Wills Foundation for their presentation tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I would like to second.
Thank you. The motion's been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Now, before I go into the normal... wasn't that special? Absolutely special. Thank you, Chairman Jane and former Administrator for Brimbank, Secretary Ian, to Sally and to Matthew that have been doing all the work around Melton. Thank you. I also would like to acknowledge former Councillor Miles Bentley in the audience. Tell him I've got some Tim Tam somewhere. Anybody else of note? And Mr. Robert Mamarella, EA for, and I'm not too sure who, but I know it's someone. Sorry? Khalil, Evie. Thank you for attending this evening. Okay. Item number three, changes to the order of business.
There are no changes, Madam Mayor.
Deputations.
We don't have any deputations this evening.
Declaration of pecuniary interests.
Madam Mayor, I have an ongoing direct interest in agenda item 12.9, telecommunications tower Brookside Reserve Vodafone, under the Local Government Act 1989, section 77B, direct interest, subsection 2B, as previously stated, and I have informed the CEO as per required.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. The adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the adoption and confirmation of the minutes of previous meeting. Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. The minutes of the ordinary meeting that were held on the 17th of October 2016 and the special meeting of Council on the 8th of November. Is there a seconder for this motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. The record of Assembly of Councillors.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation of the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 19th of September, 17th of October, 7th of November and 14th of November 2016 attached to this agenda be received and noted. However, a small change be included in the meeting date 14th of November and include Councillor Goran Kesich as a councillor who was present at that meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, ladies. And the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. Parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor. We have two. The Honourable Jacinta Allen wrote to Mr. Tory in regards to the public facilities and staffing at the Diggers Rest station. They have passed the letter on to the Public Transport Victoria to get an update on these issues. They appreciate the concerns that the facilities at Diggers Rest station remain closed, or the facilities remain closed. As you're aware, PTV advised that the decision to staff a station is based on passenger numbers. PTV confirmed that there are no plans to open the waiting room and the toilets at Diggers Rest station or to staff the station until passenger numbers increase. And that was written by the Honourable Jacinta Allen. And then we've got a letter from Inspector Catherine Rodkins. It's in regards to provision of a 24-hour manned a main hub for policing at Caroline Springs. It was written to the former Mayor, Councillor Majlik, basically saying, because it was a notice of motion, as you're aware, the community within the Melton City Council boundaries are served by police stations at Melton, Caroline Springs. Between the two stations, there are approximately 100 personnel. There are other units working within our police service area. Those units are the Melton Crime Investigations Unit and the Melton Highway Patrol. There are also units working within the Caroline Springs Police Station, being the Family Violence Unit and the Divisional Intelligence Unit. All police in the police service area, local government area, and the wider divisional units work towards making the community as safe as possible. There is currently a 24-hour police response provided by the members working from the Caroline Springs Police Station. I acknowledge that there are challenges that we in the community face with the growth in our municipality. However, the safety of our community is best served with a mobile policing response rather than police in a station in a static location. Our divisional management team is aware of the challenges we face as our community continues to grow. We are constantly planning to ensure that we are well placed to serve the community. So, could I have a councillor move?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted under the list of appendices 1 and 2.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Very gentlemanly like there, Councillor Kesich. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Petitions and joint letters?
We have no petitions this evening, Madam Mayor.
Resumption of debate or any other business carried over from the previous meeting?
No business carried forward.
Public question time. I'll refer to the Chief Executive.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 7 questions from members of the public this evening, and the first of those questions is from Sarah Spencer. Is Sarah Spencer in the gallery?
I don't believe
so. Unfortunately not. Therefore, a written response will be provided to this question and the second question, which is also from Ms. Spencer, both relate to amenity and policing issues. Next question this evening is from Mr. Garrick Oates. Mr. Oates is in the chamber. The question reads, in terms of fixing the common seal, May we know what the purpose of the Power Core easement on St Arnold Road is for? Is it for a new power transformer? And if so, what is it meant to supply power to? And Mr Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, Garrick, for your question. The easement in question actually relates to the CFA fire station in Ainsbury Township. The easement is in essence recognising the conduit and the power supply to the station itself. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr David O'Connor. Mr O'Connor is in the gallery. Question reads, I make reference to the Melton City Council 2036 community workshops currently running as part of the consultation phase for the City You Imagine campaign. Would Council please provide details with respect to community involvement and, more importantly, workshop participation from the smaller townships within the municipality, in particular the township of Diggers Rest? And Mr Maurie Heaney will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. In short, there were 33 residents that participated in the workshops. Five were from the smaller townships and the rural areas within the municipality. From those five, one was from Diggers Rest. Thank you,
Mr Heaney. The next question is also from Mr O'Connor, and it reads, some residents, including myself, were disturbed by the removal of well-established trees at the Norm Raven Reserve in Diggers Rest on Saturday. According to the contractors, the trees were removed to allow for the development of wetlands area as part of the St Genevieve housing estate. It is disappointing that no consultation had taken place prior to the removal of these trees. Would Council please provide, a detailed plan of the scope of works proposed to take place within the Norm Raven Reserve as part of the St Genevieve housing estate? And Mr Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. Just by way of background, you might recall a number of years ago the state government prepared and released a precinct structure plan for Diggers Rest, so in essence a master plan for how the township would grow into the future. That was done as one of the very early precinct structure plans and was in essence fast-tracked by the state government, so consultation with the community and a similar process was undertaken in Rockbank North was quite limited. The PSP, or the master plan, dealt at a high level with drainage for Diggers Rest and how drainage would be dealt with, and it in essence showed that the drainage would in part be treated on the Norm Raven Reserve, and I'm leading to answer your question more specifically. So as a result of that, detailed drainage plans have been prepared for the St Genevieve housing estate, and they will provide an expansion of the existing land forming part of the Norm Raven Reserve, so the reserve will get bigger. It will also involve the construction of a wetland, which does impede partly on the pre-existing Norm Raven Reserve, which unfortunately does involve the removal of a number of trees. So, in essence, the wetland's been created to deal with two issues. One is the drainage outfall from the St Genevieve housing estate, but also it deals with a pre-existing issue where there was overland flooding occurring in existing houses in Diggers Rest, so this issue will address that as well, which I know you're well aware of. There is a detailed master plan for the reserve, and I'm happy, when I provide a written response to your question, to give you a copy of that. It shows the location of the wetlands, additional landscaping and additional footpaths to be provided, so the end result will be hopefully a much improved reserve, providing a better amenity for all residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shen. The next question is on the same theme, and it is from Rhonda Dixon. Is Rhonda Dixon? It's not in the gallery, so it's on the same matter, and a written response will be provided to Ms. Dixon detailing the response. And the final question this evening is from Anne Fairweather, and Ms. Fairweather is in the gallery, and it reads, with reference to the notice of motion 439, which is on tonight's agenda, this was tried and the venue was found to be too small, and the safety of councillors who attended was compromised. It was a total waste of council officers' time and ratepayers' money, especially when those who attended and caused the disruptions have never shown their faces at our purpose-built facility in Melton. So why should it be tried again, seeing as we now have a larger number of councillors? Just by way of response, this is a matter that is listed for consideration by council later in today's meeting, so as an officer I won't preempt what council may decide. It is, however, just pointed out that the motion itself, as moved or as proposed, is in relation to calling for a report in relation to this rather than enacting it. So I do just make that point. And that concludes public questions for this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. We will now move on to the presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block agenda item 12.1, 12.2 and 12.8 and accept officers' recommendation as per the reports.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. We have a procedural motion before us to move the three items in block 12.1, 12.2 and 12.8. Moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Bushy, thank you. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Now move on to item 12.3, and that item will be presented by our Chief Executive, Mr. Calvin Torrey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This matter has been held over from the statutory meeting, or special meeting of council, and it is the appointment of representatives to each of the advisory committees and other representations that require councillor representation. It was the matter of consideration of a committee meeting held last week, and the committee minutes are appended as Appendix 1, and they detail the committee's recommendations to council in respect of each of those appointments, and in some instances recommends a variation to the terms of reference of council advisory committees to, in effect, on those occasions, increase the number of representatives, acknowledging the increased number of councillors that now represent Melton City Council. So, councillors, the recommendation is that council note the minutes of the Councillor Representation Nominations Advisory Committee meeting held on Monday, the 14th of November 2016, and secondly, adopt the recommendations arising within those minutes. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
I have a question, Madam Mayor, on page 50 in regards to the Property Development Advisory Committee. I notice that some of the other committees have changed from, say, three councillors to four, or from two councillors to three, and there's a note made that the terms of reference will be changed. And forgive me, because I wasn't at this meeting, so I'm just going by the minutes here. Mm-hmm. It states that there's three councillors. However, the terms of reference state that there's only should be two councillors, but there's no reference that the terms of reference will be changed. So okay. Does that need to be amended in the notice of motion?
Yes, effectively so. It's an oversight, councillor.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does any other councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I would like to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor, and add a dot point on a number 3 with the addition that myself, Councillor Majlik, be added onto the Ravenhall Prison Project Community Advisory Group as the second nominated councillor.
Thank you.
And also that the terms of reference.
And also that the terms of reference on the PDAC committee include there to be a change from two councillors to three.
OK, Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I don't second the motion, but I'd like to make an amendment, if I may.
Sorry, Councillor Carley, I need to get a seconder for the motion first. Thank you. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich.
Now, Councillor Carley.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, if I may just make an amendment onto the recommendation, if we could please withdraw the Property Development Advisory Committee, PDAC, and deal with this separately. So if I could please move that amendment, if Councillor Majlik's happy with that, and then that way we can deal with that separately.
I'm happy with that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Kesich, are you happy with that?
Madam Mayor, yes, I am.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
So it's incorporated into the motion.
So final has been incorporated into the motion, but we will move the balance of the committees as is. The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Now we will look at the Property Development Advisory Committee membership.
Correct. You have three nominations.
We have three nominations for three positions. Those nominations are Councillor Ramsey, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the
Are there
any further nominations?
Madam Mayor, I would also like to nominate for the PDAC committee, please.
Well, we now have four nominations.
Madam Mayor, can I just ask for clarification? Seeing as we've removed it from the last notice of motion, however, my alternate motion was to include the terms of reference, does that still stand in this instance?
It's 3-3. Yes.
Okay, so we don't need to move another alternate. That's how it stands as three.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, so we're taking the vote for the three positions.
So, each
Madam Mayor, before we take the vote, may I say a few words?
Certainly.
Or can I say it after? I just want to make a special mention that I can see here in the minutes that it says Councillor Carley requested her opposition to the recommendation be recorded, and I want to thank the officers for actually doing that, because I did have concerns about this committee and who sits on this committee. In my personal opinion, it is not appropriate for a person who has been previously employed in the property and development industry to be appointed to this important role on this committee, Madam Mayor. So that's why I'd like this to be taken out, and if we could show a clear show of hands of which councillors are supported, because I'll be calling a division after each. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. There are three positions. I will put them alphabetically.
So each councillor will get three votes.
So each councillor gets three votes, not four. So you can't be nice and vote for everybody. Alphabetically, we'll go with Councillor Carley. All those in favour of Councillor Carley? Four votes.
Can I call for a division after each?
Yes, certainly.
Councillor, thank you.
Those for Councillor Carley are Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Majlik, and Councillor Bushy. Sorry, my glasses are new, so I'm struggling, but I apologise. Councillor DeSantis. We have Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Majlik, Councillor Bushy, and Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Hardy. We have Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich. Sorry, gentlemen, I'm going to get your names right before the end of the year, I promise. Councillor Ramsey. Okay, we have Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Majlik, and Councillor Bushy. Thank you. So the representatives on the PDAC committee from the person taking the scorecard?
Councillors DeSantis, Hardy and Ramsey, Madam Mayor, if you declare them.
Okay. Elected. Councillor Ramsey, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Hardy have been elected to the Property Development Advisory Committee for the next year. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to make note, just to confirm that all the divisions will be put in the minutes that will be online. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not even going to bother trying to minute that. I'll wait for the report. 12.4, the Annual Risk Management Report. It will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The report this evening presents to Council the outcomes of staff actions detailed in its risk register for the 2015-2016 financial year. Council has an organisation-wide approach to risk management and uses an online risk register to record significant risks as well as mitigation actions. Council's Internal Risk Management Committee provides oversight in relation to governance regarding risk management and is chaired by Council's Chief Executive. For the financial year mentioned, Council had 39 recorded risks, of which three were strategic risks, or three of them being strategic risks were adjusted and downgraded after they were reviewed by the Risk Management Committee. Five operational risks were completed or deleted, and nine risks were moved as being overdue for completion. The report sets out in some detail the breakdown by heading and or the department that set out the operational risks, and also the further description of those relevant risks. No new risks were added during this time, however, all risks within the register are regularly reviewed by the committee. The three strategic risks that were modified during this period were due to a change in government policy which required an amendment to Council's position in relation to a restriction in its capacity to generate income and ability to respond appropriately to community need based on the introduction of the rate capping by the current government. Growth pressures was the second one, and challenges associated with the resourcing of this was amended based on the proposed approval by developer contribution plans by the government being slower than anticipated. And the third risk that was reviewed and reduced was in relation to a review of the risk of a community being disengaged with council if it were not in tune with the community's needs, and this was adjusted due to the positive response received in recent customer satisfaction surveys. The risks that were overdue for completion largely pertain to climate change adaptation, consideration of enhancement to Council's existing OH&S practices, and the remainder were in regard to public safety and project management, which are now being appropriately managed. 6 monthly reports regarding Council's strategic risks are presented to Council's Audit Committee, and annual reports are presented to Council as is presented this evening. Madam Mayor, I present the recommendation set out on page 53, which reads that the report be received for information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover or a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternate motion that council officers provide a detailed report of the 39 risks that were entered into the risk register at 30th of June 2016, including but not limited to the full nature of the risk, how it was managed, what shortcomings were discovered, and what has been implemented to reduce further risks of the same nature from occurring again. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. And, well, sorry, I haven't got it in front of me. Is there a date on that?
For whatever was in here, yes. I want a more detailed report.
All right. So you want it to come back to council?
Whenever. Okay. I don't have a date on that. Whenever.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik.
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before us, or the alternate motion, which is now the motion, yes, I know. Have you got the wording to that? Tracy
will get that
Thank you.
If it's moved without any hassle.
The motion has been moved by Councillor Majdalik, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We now move on to 12.5. 2016-2017 Council Annual Action Plan. Again, we'll hear from Mr. Peter Bean, the General Manager for Corporate Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council the proposed 2016-2017 Council Annual Action Plan for its consideration. The Council Plan details the vision for the community and the strategic outcomes, objectives and strategies to be undertaken in working towards that vision. Each year, Council produces an annual action plan identifying the key activities the Council will undertake to achieve these key strategic outcomes, objectives and strategies identified in the plan. There are now 148 new actions identified from across all Council service units, and they are set out in Appendix 1 for Council's consideration. Progress against these activities is reported to Council in a quarterly progress report, as well as a holistic report is provided at the end of year statement in Council's annual report. The 2016-17 Annual Action Plan, as I said, includes 148 new actions, but also contains 13 actions that have been carried forward from the 2015-16 Annual Action Plan that were not completed as at 30 June. Some of the significant initiatives included in the plan presented before Council this evening are set out on pages 56 and 57 of the Council report, which includes such things as the development of the Caroline Springs sub-regional tennis facility, completion of the Abbey Road Bridge construction to provide a vital link between Melton South and the Toolan Growth Area, provision of Commonwealth Home Support Services to eligible people over 65 years, delivery of men's health and wellbeing activities from Melton and Taylor's Hill men's sheds. As I've said, this is in no way an exhaustive list, but the Annual Action Plan itself does provide a complete list, and that list in itself provides only a selection of the work being delivered by Council on a daily basis and its many services and activities. Madam Mayor, I present the Annual Action Plan for the 2016-17 year attached as Appendix 1, and I therefore ask that Council give consideration to the recommendation as set out on page 56, being that Council adopt the 2016-17 Council Annual Action Plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Councillors, does any Councillor seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move this notice of motion and commend councillors and council officers for our comprehensive council plan.
Can I also ask everybody to give Councillor Majdalik a huge round of applause, because not only is she severely jet-lagged, she got in very early this morning, she has been bouncing up and down and moving absolutely everything to steer this new council in its direction. So well done. Okay, the motion before us... Oh, sorry, the gavel actually spoke for itself. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majdalik. Is there a seconder?
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majdalik, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. 12.6, the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan 2013 to 2017, the Progress Report. And this report will be brought to us by Mr. Heaney, the General Manager for Community Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. This is again similar to the previous report. It was to update you on the implementation of the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan for 2013 to 2017. Under the Public Health and Wellbeing Act 2008, councils are legislated to develop a Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan, which is known as the MPHWP. This is a strategic document which establishes council's vision for community wellbeing and is aligned, of course, closely to the Council Plan 2013 to 2017. The health plan was endorsed, that is the 2013-17, at the ordinary meeting of Council in October back in 2013. And again, each year, the annual action plans are developed, which provide the operational and accountability for how the Council will achieve the vision of the MP HWP. The action plan for the 2015-16 is appended 1 in the documentation and is the third annual action plan with a number of outcomes that have been achieved. The 2015-16 includes 58 actions, and the following table provides a status of the updated initiatives or actions. And there, as indicated, the actions completed are 43, partially 14 but are on track, and one not achieved is on page 117, which councillors for note is the intercultural plan, which is scheduled to come to council probably February or March next year. Again, a copy of the progress report of the 15, the action plan, is presented. We're also looking at the 16-17 action plan, which has somewhat 68 actions if council endorses this report this evening. And again, the similar process will follow, where officers will report to council on those achievements if endorsed this evening. So, Madam Mayor and councillors, can I put you the two recommendations that are on page 106? Is a note the annual progress report of the action plan for the 2015-16 for the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan for the term of 2013-17 years, as presented, as I said earlier, in Appendix 1, the documentation. And 2, that note the annual action plan for the forthcoming 2016-17 year for the Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan, again for the 2013-17 as appended in Appendix 2 documentation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council seek require further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this recommendation as put and in doing so commend officers for the amount of work they took to put this together.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. 12.7 Shared Facilities Fund. Expression of interest. Mr. Heaney to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Again, Council's quick overview on this fund. It's a Victorian State Government initiative, which is known as the Shared Facilities Fund. It's basically $50 million that's out there for initiatives to be submitted. This document is about an expressions of interest for a model that we're looking forward to hopefully moving forward with. The Shared Facilities Fund, as I said, provides $50 million, but basically with a priority on the growth areas, i.e. Casey, Wyndham, Whittlesea, Hume, ourselves, Melton City, Cuninia and Mitchell. It really is targeted around community strengthening and wellbeing. It needs to respond to community demands, and it needs to enhance school and community pride and culture and community education. The reason for this report is we did have an initiative we wanted to put forward. The Shared Facilities Fund is really a fund that we need to apply for, but it needs to demonstrate, as it indicates, shared outcomes between education, schools or council. So they could be shared models of delivery, whether it be on a school site or on a council site. The model we put forward and have submitted expressions of interest for, which closed on last Friday, so this is a noting report, was an expressions of interest, so it's not saying we have agreement to move forward, or it's not saying we haven't. The project that we're submitting for is a community hub model incorporating a teaching kitchen co-located to what is the Kurrunjang Primary School just to the north of where we are today. The facility would deal, we think, with all the deliverables asked for in the documentation. The hub model is an ideal vehicle and a model identified specifically for the Kurrunjang area, and the Kurrunjang area came up in our community satisfaction surveys as an area of need, if you like, and an area of concern that the community had around that northern patch of the Melton Township. There has been some conversations with the Kurrunjang Primary School, and that is the principal, about a proposed model and what that could include. And as I indicated earlier, it is a shared model, so it has to demonstrate shared outcomes from the council and the school, being the students and the community. I think there's an opportunity to apply for $2.3 million in funding if we're able to access it or we get the green light to proceed, and that would be a good outcome for this community to the northern area of the township. There is an identified area of need, as I said earlier, that came out very heavily in our community engagement processes. The school is, as I said, is supportive of it. This is merely just saying to council that we have shown interest. It's along the lines that if we achieve the grant, and that's a whole other piece of work which would come back to the council at a point in time, to apply for the main grant if we get the go-ahead, I just think it would produce good outcomes if successful. We're applying for the grant, as I said, some $2.3 million, and there's no dollar-for-dollar match in this. We're saying if we achieve the $2.3 million, we'll proceed and hopefully deliver a really good model on a site. The appended site councillors is on page 159, which gives you an indication of what the site is. The area of Hatchland, if I could call it that, 33 to 35, the land in question is adjacent to Mowbray Crescent, and Kurrenjang Primary is just to the left of that hatched area. So it's a detailed piece of work that still needs to occur. So we're putting forward to you really tonight just to note the expressions of interest for the Shared Facilities Fund, and it is for $2.35 million for a proposed community hub incorporating a teaching kitchen at the site as indicated, 33 to 35 Mowbray Crescent, Kurrenjang, as per Appendix 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll second it.
Councillor Mendes. Sorry, Councillor Hardy. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. 12.8 was in block. We are now currently on to 12.9. Councillor Majlik has called a conflict.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm just reiterating for the minutes of the meeting that I have a direct interest, so I am removing myself from chamber.
We'll see you shortly. Yes. 12.9, Telecommunications Tower, Brookside Reserve, Vodafone. The report will be presented by Ms. Christine Denyer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is to advise Council of the results of the independent testing of the emission levels at the three nominated locations and a further fourth location where some testing was also conducted. The results are in the report dated 26 September, which is attached at Appendix 1. The sites were nominated by Council pursuant to a resolution made by it at the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 30th of May. And that resolution was in response to a petition containing 1,400 signatures calling for the cancellation of a lease that Council had entered into on the 9th of December and a subsequent meeting with the lessee Vodafone, where the lessee indicated that there were no other comparable sites for the relevant telecommunications infrastructure. The three nominated locations were the synthetic soccer pitch, which is located 58 metres from the monopole in question, the Brookside College, located 204 metres from the monopole, Brookside Early Learning Centre, 224 metres from the monopole. They were the three nominated locations nominated by Council, and there was a further testing conducted at the Brookside Children's and Community Centre. The testing was undertaken by Total Radiation Solutions, as I said, on the 26th of September, and it's their report that's attached at Appendix 1. The report indicates that the radio frequency electromagnetic emission levels, or RFEME levels, are well below the general public exposure limits specified by the, and here's another mouthful, Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency. The highest level recorded was 0.025% of the limit and was at Brookside Children's and Community Centre. And the recommendation is that Council notes the report at Appendix 1 and forwards a copy of it to the Brookside College, the Brookside Early Learning Centre, all tenant clubs that utilise the reserve and the organisers of the said petition. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Denyer. Does any Council seek further clarification on this report?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to insert a point 3 to the submission. That in the event that the electromagnetic radiation levels are changed by the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency, the community be notified, and further to this, that the lessee be notified to change, alter the shielding facility pursuant to those ComCare regulations. That's Commonwealth Care from ComCare, if anybody wants to know.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Could I just seek clarification? I understand that it's an additional point 3. Are we, being a contractual matter, would that be allowed for us to add that dot point 3 and we still be covered?
Madam Mayor, we could seek to have the lease amended, but we couldn't unilaterally amend the lease as signed. Is that the question you're...
Does the lease cover dot point 3 that Councillor Hardy has presented? Could it be could the lease be read in such a way that there would be standards, if the standards changed, they would be expected to do something to shield the community?
The lease would contain a provision that the lessee must comply with all Australian laws, okay, and if the law in question changed, then the lessee would have to comply with that changed law, be that this or any law.
So by extrapolating what Councillor Hardy has just put on the table, it basically is covered in the lease as it stands.
Except that if I understand Councillor Hardy's amended motion, it's that the lease be amended. And
you didn't use the words that the lease be amended, did you, Councillor Hardy?
No, Madam Mayor. What I'm looking at is to write a point 3 be included as a rider to the current instructions.
So would you like to move the recommendation adding dot point 3?
Madam Mayor, I so move that dot point 3 be included.
So we're moving the whole of the recommendation 1, 2 and 3?
1, 2 and 3 as stated.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Before us we have a notice of motion moved by Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder to the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to second.
The motion has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor... I've forgotten his name already. Of Kesich. Sorry, dear. I'll start again. The motion's been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour of the motion? Those opposed to the motion? Okay, we have a split vote. I'll vote for the or the motion before us. I will declare it carried. On the casting vote, and I will call a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich. All those against? Councillor Carly, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Bushy, and the Mayor's casting vote for the motion, so it's carried. Right. Could someone let Councillor Majlik know? Okay, we will now move on to reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. Has anyone got reports from delegates to other bodies? Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'll find it. 16th of this month, first meeting of the new year, I attended Melton Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee. I've been practicing saying that all day. Congratulations to Officer Les Stokes, who's just become the new MEL, which is an Emergency Resource Officer for MEMPC. And he's got big shoes to fill. Greg Wood was in that role for many years, but I'm sure Les is up to the job. I'd like to everybody give him a big round of applause. His new appointment. There was a very interesting meeting. There was a few things on discussion on the day. A couple of the main things were the fire that was at Petula's Lane in Somerton last year, at the end of the year, and the cost alone for that and redundancies for the people that were working was $2 million. Wow. It was a massive cost, that fire. There was also discussion over the recent bomb threat in the childcare centre in James Crook Drive. And all the evacuation plans were put in place and everything went smoothly. It was the team need to be commended on the work done on that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Are there any other councillors with reports from delegations appointed to other bodies? Thank you. Apart from the Leave West AGM, I've got nil. Councillors' representation and acknowledgements. I'll also commence with Councillor Turner.
Have you got all night, Madam Mayor? 1st of November, I attended, actually I had an invitation along with Councillor Mendez to attend Melton Secondary College students' special night. She's a VCAL student and she was doing a programme, design a project for personal development skills. And what she designed, she's Samoan, and what she designed was a multicultural night with other South Pacific Islanders. And it was a fantastic night held at St. Anthony's of Padua Hall in Melton South, and it was called the Awakening of South Pacific. It was a fantastic night, lovely food, lovely music, and all the different groups. I think there was about 8 different groups on the night got up and got involved. On the 5th of Jerawara, I'll give somebody else to speak about that. On the 10th, most of us, well, a few of us were at the Capital Projects Engagement Session. There was one held in Caroline Springs and one held in Melton. And there was quite a few councils at both of them. Of course, the RSL Service Day was well attended as usual, with a special mention, obviously, to the primary schools. What a fantastic job they're doing, and they're becoming more and more of them every year. And it was great to see them laying their wreaths. On the 19th, I attended, along with yourself and Councillor Mendez, Minister Hutchins' Growing Suburbs funded projects when she come out and give us a bit of money. I'll leave that for you, Madam Mayor. I could do that, but you can do that. I'm sure you'd love to tell people what we've got. On Sunday the 30th, I'm going back, I attended the Brittany's Multicultural Festival Day. And I need to take my hat off to this group. They're one of the groups in Melton that invite every other group to join them. They run festivals, not for themselves. They run festivals for the community. And then you were there yourself, Madam. And it was another fantastic day. They had presentations by Aboriginal community, Chinese community, Indian, Macedonian, Nepalese, Samoan, and South Sudanese. It was a real community day, and it was their annual festival, Dasara and Diwali festival. And I'd just like to commend them on what they're doing in the community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to follow on what Councillor Turner has attended, I had the pleasure, as a new councillor, I had the real pleasure of attending Tulin Vale Walk to School with Madam Mayor. It was my first attendance at a meeting and thoroughly enjoyed. Children well behaved, but more about it was about engaging with the children. Also, there's a fitness program going on, and the adults, there's a good interaction between the children there and their families and parents, and it was, you know, it was worthwhile going, and I intend to attend further. On November the 10th, that was also this November the 10th, I attended the VLGA introduction with the Minister Hutchings about networking. It's about insurers seeing what's available as far as finance, where the government is going, and best where we can leverage to get the best bang for our buck. It's not about standing in the queue, it's ensuring that we are in the queue and we do get priorities. November 11th, again, the Bridge Road regional play space. A new facility that's been opened up with developers involved, the council involved. And this is an exceptional, and I, being in the building industry for a long time, it's an exceptional outcome. Well played, well outlaid, great for the children. They had multiple access, multiple exercising equipment, but also attached to that is the future field and game for the adults. So as the children progress through their life, they've got sporting outcomes and they can engage considerably throughout their lifetime, again, creating a well-rounded, let's say, child and family outcomes. One of the best I've seen around, and I've been around a long play, around a lot of. The 17th, the community capital projects here, I attended the other night on the 17th. A lot of people attended, they had their views and they were all catered for. Of course, we don't have a bag of money for everybody, but the best we can come up with is deciding of what can be done today. What are their needs today and what can we do to assist? And that was put over by councillors who attended. It was well attended by all councillors and also the representatives being the officers who are the workers behind all the outcomes in Melton. And again, all were catered for. I don't think anybody went away with any disappointments. And of course, they'll be back next year for as much as they can. And today, Melton South Football Club made representation to attend here today to put their business plan for 2016-17-18. They've got a lot of work to do, but they are moving in a direction which is going to see that not only the football club, but an integration of all sports, cricket, football, netball and all other sports to that facility. And with a master plan, and I believe that's already in place, that will be an exceptional and very valuable asset to the community of Melton. So for all those that people have attended and been involved, I commend you. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Mendes.
Mr Turner stole some of my thunder, but that's okay, I'll let him. On Saturday, 5th of November, I was very fortunate enough to attend the Jerriwarra Festival, and it was great to see the parade return back, and I'm sure many of you in the gallery would agree, to what it used to be, with the history of Melton and many community groups being involved at a greater extent. So I give credit to the council for changing that direction and listening to the residents. It was great to see many cultural groups in the community doing not just dancing but actually displaying their foods and cultures, and for everyone to be accepting and embracing of that. It was a great success and a wonderful demonstration of the fire dancing artists at the end of the night when they lit the bonfire, which was carefully crafted into a castle shape. And it was great to see the bonfire return and so many people around embracing the celebration that has not been in Melton for many years. And I hope that they continue that into the future. The events team at Melton Council are to be congratulated for putting together such a wonderful event, as it encompassed all ages, and then there was a certain councillor that seemed to understand the era of the music from Eurogliders and Dragon, whilst many of others struggled to remember them. It was a great night, and I hope it's a success again in 2017. And then on the Sunday, 6th of November, I had the pleasure of attending the Model Aircraft Association's display, where they display all shapes and sizes of planes. They're flown at great heights, and not just little kids, but big kids get to enjoy this opportunity. And some of the big kids, like myself, even like the lolly drops from the plane. It's a great event, and I highly recommend that everyone in the gallery take time next year to go and visit this event. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Kesich. If you've got nothing to report, just say nil.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 5th of November, I attended the Jerriwarra Festival with my family. It was my first time as a councillor, so I felt very honoured with that. Heaps of positive feedback from the community, and it was a great night, and again, great work from the Melton City Council. It was great to mix in with all the constituents and the community. It was a great night. Also, the Melton City Council Community Capital Projects Engagement Sessions, it's a tongue twister, got to see where the needs are within the community and also how the services within our community can be improved. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Madgley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Australian Institute Company Directors Update in mid-October, and this was very highly insightful. The update was what every director should know about their boards, and the topics included the board's duty of care, setting the tone from the top, CSR activism, gender diversity on boards, and can I just say a side note that I'm very happy to see the gender diversity still on our council. Digital disruption, a culture of innovation, and the need for the board's members to always be constantly curious. So it was fantastic. It was a great update, how I can use those that information, I guess, as a councillor that I sit on this council as well. I attended the fundraiser Reach for the Sky. This was a very moving and touching fundraiser for two children who are locals in the Melton Township. They have a rare disease. I can't remember what it's called, but they don't have a long expectancy of life, which as a parent, I can't even imagine what the parents are going through. I think there's only about 14 in Australia that have this disease, and they have both their children suffering from this disease. So very, very sad circumstances, but it was extremely uplifting to see the community get together and fundraise for this wonderful family. And yeah, I wish them all the very best. I also want to thank my residents. As everyone knows, that the elections had occurred and we are now a new council, but I would like to thank my residents for re-electing me as their local councillor in the Cambridge ward for another 4 years. I'd like to congratulate my fellow councillors, new and re-elected councillors as well, for their success. I'm looking forward to working hard, as I always do, for my residents for the next 4 years, and I just want to thank my residents for them putting their trust in me once again to represent them on council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 5th of November I attended the DJ Festival, and the bonfire was a real hit, and I know it's been touched on by nearly all the councillors, so I won't go into too much detail about that. It's been covered. I attended the Melton Council Community Capital Projects Engagement Sessions, both the one at Caroline Springs and also the one in Melton. And can I just say that the feedback that I've had from the clubs and the residents that attended, they were so grateful that they had the opportunity to come and be heard, and that meant so much to them. So well done to all officers that were involved. Also, Madam Mayor, on the 11th of November, I represented you at the Caroline Springs RSL Remembrance Day service.
And thank you for doing that.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. It was a real honour to lay the wreath and to speak. And again, the numbers keep increasing and increasing, which is great to see. The kids participating. It's always a very touching event. So thank you for that, Madam Mayor. And also, Madam Mayor, I know I'm not going to take away your thunder, but can I just say, and I'm just going to read off my phone at the moment, that us receiving this big boost from the state government and the projects that this is going to cover is absolutely amazing. And I am, yes, Madam Mayor, thumbs up. I've looked at the list and I just want to say a huge thank you, especially to the Minister for Local Government, Natalie Hutchins. Thank you so much. This is a really great day for Melton. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bushy. Now, I left you to last so you could gather your thoughts.
Now, it's good. Most of it's covered, so I'll be really quick. Firstly, I'd like to thank the people of Cambridge for my election into this term. And I'm really happy to see the diversity in councillors. I'm an advocate for diversity in our community, and I think it's great to see so many different nationalities. I think Melton, City of Melton and the municipality has over 100 nationalities represented, and my hope is that future councils can have more diversity that really represent the essence of our community, and I think that's fantastic, and that's what is represented in this term of council today. So thank you to the people of Cambridge. I also attended the DJ Festival on the 5th of November. I thought it was fantastic. It's the first festival in the municipality that I've attended. I brought my little nephew and he was just gobsmacked. He was absolutely taken back by really the sheer number of people. I didn't realise exactly the extent of it, and the hard work that goes into putting something like this together is extraordinary. So I'd like to acknowledge and thank Council for putting on such a great display for our community. I attended the Community Capital Projects Engagement session on the 10th of November in Caroline Springs. It was good to see some old faces from different clubs come in with their asks, I suppose. There is a great need in our community, and I think we do a really good job in representing our community, our sporting clubs, and all the needs and you know what their asks are. I think in lots of ways it represents, you know, the continued growth and how big we're getting as a community, and the needs are going to continue to increase. So I think it's fantastic that these people feel comfortable coming to us and saying, hey, we need to upgrade this or we need to look after this. So I think it's great, and it was good to mingle with those people and our fellow councillors and council officers. And I'd also like to acknowledge and thank Natalie Hutchins, MP, and the state government for the Growing Suburbs Fund. $4.38 million is extraordinary, and I feel privileged and lucky that the state government has chosen us and our municipality as a place to really improve and to inject this much needed funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Okay, and I will try and be quick so I won't repeat anything too much, but I do want to put my slant on most things. Reach for the sky, and Carter, when he was diagnosed with blood disorder, he was one of three. Now there's currently 21 with that disorder, and Sky went into hospital virtually straight after the fundraiser, but is currently home and hopefully will stay so leading up to Christmas. The Bhutanese Festival, thank you very much for extending the invitation to include us. It just gets bigger and better every year. But you've got to tell the Maltese Fishing Club that they've got to put fish on the menu. The Jerawarra Festival, where do I start? The 80s music, 70s, 80s music with Eurogliders and who else was there? Dragon. How could I forget? Two of my favourite bands. And the bonfire's back. How do we do that? Mr. Bean?
thank you so much to that department. It's been a lot of lobbying year after year, but we've got it, and it was the only person that didn't like it was the lady from the Eurogliders. But that's okay, because we're all facing the bonfire, not facing the stage. That's not an issue. To see the parade, to see the Lions Carnival, to see the community holders out there selling their wares, and to see the kids with smiles on their faces was an absolute delight. The weather held out for us, and it was a great day. Yes, and I also liked the model aircraft the very next day. I did go out to go and get some lollies, and it's good that there's a man with a pocket full, because I couldn't chase those kids, even though Councillor Mendes took a flock of greyhound. I had the privilege as mayor of my very first item to launch the children's art exhibition at Branching Out to Nature. It was a neighbourhood house. They did the project through the neighbourhood houses, and they displayed them at our wonderful CS gallery. And anyone that wants to take a look, I highly recommend it. The walk to school assembly at Toolinvale Primary, as Councillor Hardy said, was an absolute success. The Melton City Council Capital Projects Engagement Session, now I'm going to get this wrong, there was 8 presenters at Caroline Springs, and I think 17 in the Melton Township, and I think everybody needs and wants a slightly different, but we'll try and do the best we can for the whole of the community. The Mountain RSL Remembrance Day service, again, was a success, and the schools are absolutely sensational. But the returned servicemen, it's great to pay homage to them. And thank you, Councillor Carley, yet again for holding up our end in the Caroline Springs area. The official opening of the Bridge Road Regional Play Space. Now, that was one of the funds. As we get to talk about the funds from this year from the local government minister, Natalie Hutchins, this was one of the funds, one of the initiatives that was funded last year that's in the township, and to actually see the amount of families that were utilising it on the weekend was absolutely sensational. Journey to the G was not only here tonight, but we had a community day down at Kirrup House. And it was in regards to the 1866 Aboriginal cricket team from Western Victoria that went and travelled through towns like Melton to the Melbourne Cricket Ground Club, to play the Melbourne Cricket Club on the MCG on Boxing Day. Working together to deliver, most of us councillors were able to get together as a team and sit down and study for almost a day. There's another one in the next month, so councillors relax up until that point. The Kurrunjung Secondary College Valedictory Dinner. I was joined by Don Nardella at this Valedictory Dinner and down at Taylor's Hill or Taylor's Lakes, and it was an absolutely sensational night, and they were terribly excited. The Western Region Merrill Luncheon occurred at Brimbank, where five mayors got together. Now, when five experienced mayors get together to talk about the issues of the West, there isn't a lot of time for eating. We talked from gaming machines to drugs to ice to roads that needed duplication and connectivity. It just went on and on, so much so that I can't even remember eating. The Growing Suburbs Fund, everybody's touched on it. It was a real treat to be there Saturday morning. We'll drop everything to go when the local government minister calls, especially when a check's in the waiting. Councillor Turner and Councillor Mendes joined me in Caroline Springs. $2.5 million was given to the Caroline Springs Leisure Centre for the expansion there. There was a billion. Now I'm adding. The minister had problems with the millions, didn't she? But now I'm having trouble, sorry. There was $1 million to the Burnside Children's Services Centre. There was $500,000 to the Scouts. Now, boy, were they excited. There was $194,000 to
Kenswick Reserve and 191 almost to the Botanical Gardens walks. So, now before anyone starts yelling that it's all going to Caroline Springs, last year there was close to $6 million and most of those projects were in the township, and some of them are now being realised, such as the Pride of Melton and the regional, the Aged Services, Fraser Street and the regional play space, which we launched. So I believe in being fair. So before anyone yells at me, that's where the breakup is. The sports and cultural event by the Sheikh Temple yesterday was an absolute mind blower. I was totally astounded by the sporting nature on a dirt track by so many young kids to celebrate some of their cultures. And then the mums got on with baskets on their heads and they weren't allowed to touch, but they were supposed to race really fast. And to see the dexterity of some of these women was absolutely sensational. Councillor Mendez joined me on the occasion and we were terribly blessed to have that opportunity to see. I just want to add a couple of things coming up. The Melton City Council short story competition is going to be held this week. So if anyone's wanting a real experience to hear some of these stories being read out, it'll be towards the end of the week. Carols by Candlelight on the 3rd of December, and also the Relay for Life Trivia Night on the 2nd of December. For all those, can I speak on behalf of all councillors? I think we all appreciate and value our residents' support during the election time, and we're very happy to be back representing you the very best we know how. Thank you. Okay, notices of motion. 15.1, Councillor Magic.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion that council officers provide a report to council detailing 1, the hierarchy of parks that applies within the municipality, 2, the standard of lighting installed in each level of park, 3, the impact financially and on neighbourhood amenity of increasing the standard of lighting in parks, including via the use of solar lighting options, and if it does go through, Madam Mayor, could I speak on the motion?
Certainly can, Councillor Magilic. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Magilic. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Magilic, seconded by Councillor Carling. Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you, Councillor Magilic.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't be long. I just wanted to point out that this notice of motion came about during the Community Safety Forum meetings that we had, or our residents had. I think there was one in, well, there was one in Burnside, Hillside, and I think Diggers Rest as well, where some of the issues was lighting around parks. Some of the residents were making mention or suggesting to council that perhaps we should light more parks up to decrease violence or to decrease some of the criminal activity that's happening around parks. So basically this notice of motion will provide a report to council should council decide to go that way, or should council decide to perhaps light up particular parks that are of concern in the future. We at least know what options are available and also consider the cost as well for future budget deliberations. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, fellow councillors, for supporting that.
Thank you, Councillor Magilic. Please don't sit down, because 15.2, Councillor Magilic.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion that post the 2016 Melton City Council's annual Christmas Carol event, councillors support the rotation of the Christmas Carols event across the municipality for a more fairer distribution of locations within our municipality.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those in favour of the motion? We have Councillor Carley. Oh, all those against?
Madam Mayor, can I ask for a division?
Yes, certainly. All those in favour? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor
Majlik,
Councillor Bushy.
Madam Mayor, I thought we had an opportunity to debate this.
Yeah, we're going to. Why? So we can't go back and discuss it.
The motions carried.
I'll complete the division and then I'll foreshadow an alternative. Can I? Yes?
Oh, the motion's been carried.
Motion. Okay, I'll complete the division. All those against? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich. Declare it carried. Now can I move the subsequent? I can't. Okay. Okay. We'll move on to item 15.3.
Madam Mayor, I'm allowed to talk on that last motion. I'd like to say a few words.
No, the mover of the motion is the only one. Sorry. 15.3, Councillor Majlik.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that council officers provide a report outlining how council decides and distributes the equity between various community groups such as the Lions, Rotary Clubs and others throughout the different events that council is responsible for throughout the year, and include in the report how council can look at a more fairer distribution between the various community groups and its different branches within our municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner. The motion's been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. It states here that the council can look at a more fair distribution between the various community groups and its different branches within our municipality. Is there a difference? Is there something that's, you know, not stated here? Is there a disadvantagement to one versus the other?
I think it's a question of the mover, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Majlik.
I'm not sure if it's an unfair distribution. However, I was made aware of one particular event. It was the Caroline Springs pop-up park where there was no representation there from any community group. There was no Rotary Club, there was no Lions Club, and it came to my attention that they would have done a barbecue there had they been made aware of it. And therefore, I think I'm not really making an accusation here. I'm more so, I thought, well, while we're looking at the whole process of, you know, how do these community groups get decided on, like how come, say, Caroline Springs Lions attends one, and, you know, how do we make it a little bit more fair? Mm-hmm. So I think I included that in the notice of motion thinking, well, that will encapsulate the whole thing. It wasn't so much for, like, a quality of groups, more so that I want them to be more aware that, they can put down their names. So even community groups that are probably a little, probably even smaller, that may not be Lions or Rotary, because we always go to Lions and Rotary, which I do thank them for their hard work. However, I know that there's a lot more community groups out there that may probably, if they were made aware of the fact that council holds these functions and the events, they may get a chance. So maybe, I'm looking maybe either a report or it probably will come to a policy of some sort, I'm assuming, but it wasn't so much as an unequal distribution, it was more so to encapsulate the whole thing.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Madam Mayor, can I have word?
You certainly can, Councillor Turner.
I support Councillor Medlick's motion here. Simple reason being that all community groups, not-for-profit groups, are here for the community and they deserve the opportunity to earn a little bit of extra money to put back in the community. As long as the money they earn is going in the community, I have no problem with any group that can, that have got the resources to do it, to deliver it, get the chance to do it. And that's whether it's in the township or within Caroline Springs, whether in Diggers Rest. If there's a community group there, we should be looking at the local community groups to deliver in their own area. And if there was one missing there, maybe nobody asked. But yeah, I support you on this, Cathy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Okay. So does any councillor seek any further clarification? We have a mover being Councillor Magic, seconded by Councillor Turner. I'm going to start this differently. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 15.4, notice of motion 439, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion that at the next ordinary meeting of Council, officers provide a detailed report outlining the costs associated with rotating ordinary Council monthly meetings between the Caroline Springs Civic Centre Library and the Melton Civic Centre for 2017.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Is there a seconder for the notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Are you only asking for a report?
Yes, yes, Madam Mayor. If I'll answer Councillor Mendes. I'm only asking for a report to come back to Council just to outline the costings for the year 2017.
Okay, through you, Madam Mayor. Is there any way we can put in an amendment to this in regards to adding an element to do with safety?
I'll let you.
It's your call, Madam Mayor, but once the motion's moved...
and seconded.
Being it's now it is moved and seconded, so I'd noted that. Any councillor can move an amendment, of course. It's a substantive motion before the chair, and any motion can be amended.
Well, I'd like to move an amendment that's something to do with the inclusion of safety of the general public and the councillors be placed within that recommendation.
Okay.
Councillor Carley is the mover of the recommendation. Have you got an issue with that?
Madam Mayor, I don't have an issue with that, but I thought that the report would actually have that in the costings as it did last time. The extra security guards and things that we had were in a breakdown in the report, so I just assumed that when I say a detailed report, that would include security. Would it not?
If it impacted on the costing, yes, it would.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it will be included in there, so I don't believe we'd need to make an amendment. The detailed report would come, and then when it comes before this council, if Councillor Mendes is unsure or seeks further clarification in regards to security, then she's able to do so when the report comes back.
All right.
It's up to Councillor Mendes whether she wants to pursue
it. Councillor Mendes, do you want to pursue that?
Thank you.
Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those...
Is the motion opposed?
Is the motion opposed? It is? Is the motion opposed?
All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. Councillors, questions without notice?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I do have a question without notice. Bear with me. Can I please have an update on Westwood Drive and what is the expected timeframe for its start and completion date?
Mr. Shannon.
Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I thought that might be me. If I can perhaps work backwards, Madam Mayor, we anticipate that the contract for that project will be awarded this financial year, around somewhere between May and June. It will be around about a 16 to 18 month construction. It's a fairly large project, and a significant bridge required over the Corroy Creek. There are the project itself is actually being led by Vic Roads, and they were subject to an environmental effects statement, which is nearing completion now. There are a number of additional pieces of work that Vic Roads need to complete as part of that, including the Cultural Heritage Management Plan, which they're currently working through at the moment. We hope all that will be concluded sometime in the first few months of next year, which will enable the project to be tendered and awarded, as I said, in the May-June period. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Madam Mayor, can I have my second question that's related to Westwood Drive?
Certainly.
Thank you. Does Council's relevant departments have an outlined strategy in how the affected surrounding local road networks will cope with the sudden increased traffic volume on various intersections once Westwood Drive is complete?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, once the road connection over the Corroy Creek is complete, Westwood Drive will become extremely busy, and that will take obviously a lot of pressure off Caroline Springs Boulevard. That in turn will put pressure on a number of intersections in that location. So we are actually about to undertake a road safety audit, it's known as, which will in essence assess Westwood Drive from Taylor's Road right through to Ballarat Road. And that work will identify if any remedial actions are required at any of the intersections along that significant length of road. It will also look at other locations, for example, the Burnside Retirement Village, where it's not technically at an intersection, but there is a potential point of conflict, so it will need to address key locations like that as well. And therefore, when we're in the process of awarding the final construction program, we'll know exactly what works will be needed at any of those specific locations, and that can be dealt with through the project. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Thank you, Councillor Madgley. Any further questions without notice?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't know if it's a question or if we're able to do it, but or if it's already done. I just wanted to know, is there an update on the snake catching program on Council's website at the moment? Only because we're getting into the hotter weather, we're going to see more of them come out. And I still speak to some residents that are unaware that we are actually trialling this over the 12 months. So I just want to publicise it as much as I can. And if it's not on the website, are we able to have a bit of a write-up on it, just letting residents know who to contact in regards to the snake catching program, please?
Through you, Madam Mayor, we have endeavoured to advertise the program. It's only obviously been going for a relatively short period of time, and Council have agreed to review it again sometime in the new year after the summer. I will review our website again to ensure that it's appropriately promoted and any other opportunities to promote it, because clearly we want the residents, the community, to know that it is a facility that they have access to. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions without notice?
I've got a couple, that's all right.
Two?
No, maybe four.
Sorry?
Maybe four.
Maybe not.
One's a double one. One's okay. The same thing. Can officers please advise the timeline for completion of Abbey Road and Bridge Road, inner bridges? Well, that's one point from Abbey Road into Brooklyn Road.
And the other one, Sophie's Bridge?
You're not dead yet, so we can't call Sophie's
Bridge.
Mr. Shannon?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I can answer the first question in relation to Abbey Road. I, in fact, visited the site last week and works have progressed particularly well. Significant road works have occurred on the eastern side of the Tulin Creek. It's expected works will be finished in June of next year, and the bridge will be fully open to the public. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll hand over to Mr. Bean in relation to Bridge Road.
Yeah, Councillor Turner, in relation to Bridge Road, there's still some contractual matters being finalised, both between ourselves and land lease communities and adjoining landowners, and land lease communities and the bridge contractor. They're endeavouring to have a commencement of around February is their endeavour, and it will be a planned 9-month construction program.
So this time next year, a good chance to be finished.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Second question, Madam Mayor. It's a bit of a statement and a question. State government's recently released information that they're going to spend $2.24 million at the Milton Station. That's for 270 new car parking bays. And obviously, I'd like to commend Council for the advocating they've done to help deliver this. The works are being delivered by VicTrack, and they're to be completed in 2017. Can you tell us when they're actually starting? Because I saw that the Reese Road is, they're announcing Reese Road for closure. I don't know what it's related to this. Are the works starting just now, or are they later in the year?
Through Madam Mayor, I'll do my best to answer. It's true that the works will be completed during 2017. Whilst I have met with the project team and the project director, I don't have an exact start date for works. I'll again contact the project team and try and establish a more exact timetable. When I met with them some weeks ago, they were in a process of tender evaluation, so they hadn't yet awarded the construction of the project, but I can certainly seek an update and advise all councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Last question, Madam Mayor. It's a very short one. I've recently become aware that there is police numbers being added to Melton. Do we have an update on the police numbers that are coming to Melton very soon, and also the police numbers that they're pushing for in the next 12 months? Do we have anything on that, or can it come back to the next meeting? I don't want to say anything because it's not my place.
If we can take that on notice, Councillor, we'll bring information as soon as we can obtain such.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions with that notice?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I have a few questions. The first question is regarding the completion of the Caroline Springs Railway Station. Do we have definitive dates as to when that will be operational?
Yes, I believe we have the date. There's a press release issued in the last couple of days detailing increased number of services on the Ballarat line, and it indicated that the commencement of those additional services would coincide with the opening of Caroline Springs Railway Station. That would have, I think it was 288 trains per week that stopped at the station, and I think the date was in February, but don't quote me. I will source that press release and circulate it.
And I wanted to bring up another matter that's really infuriating at the moment for the residents in the Eastern Corridor, specifically Caroline Springs Boulevard and Westwood Drive. Obviously, we know that there's going to be the bridge across the creek, but at the moment we're experiencing significant delays exiting the estate, and if you're sneaky like me and go around to Westwood Drive, you're in a pretty much a car park. You're sitting there on Westwood Drive waiting to exit. So both entry and exits from Ballarat Road and Westwood Drive and Ballarat Road and Caroline Springs Boulevard in the mornings.
And the question is, Councillor Bushy?
What's Council doing about it, and what's actually happening with regards to managing the road work during the day, and is there planned night work so that we don't have to put up with the constant disruption?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'll do my best to answer that question. The intersections of both Caroline Springs Boulevard and Westwood Drive, where it intersects with the Ballarat Road, is actually the responsibility of Vic Road, so we do work very closely with them in terms of advocating for improvements to that those intersections. For example, Vic Roads have recently either completed or are nearing completion improvements to the Christie's Road leg of that intersection from the southern side, so providing another turning lane into the western, the Ballarat Road. to be honest, Vic Roads do struggle to find the money to be able to undertake the appropriate works, and I think it's a process of continually advocating to them as traffic volumes increase, there'll be more and more pressure on both of those intersections, and I guess our role as officers and of the elected council is to continue to advocate to both Vic Roads and the local members for improvements to those intersections.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Now you see why we're limiting it to two.
One. A resident has recently contacted me and sent out the information to all the councillors, and thank you very much, Bob. He's in the gallery. In relation to Barry's Road and Coburn's Road interchange, from Barry's Road, the right turn signal has not been installed. This area is a noted black spot. It has a high incident level of accident injury. How it got through the process, because the other three directions all have right-hand turn signals.
Mm-hmm.
I notice that it has been moved over to the General Manager, Luke Shannon, and thank you very much. Where are we with this process? What happens now, and how long before Vic Roads can, let's say, give us an indication of when they're going to start?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I can endeavour to answer that question. The council will recall that as part of the expansion of the Woodgrove Shopping Centre in the last 3 years, they did undertake improvements in Coburn's Road, particularly providing an additional right-hand turn lane into Barry's Road as you're heading south on Coburn's Road. So that's a different leg of the intersection you're referring to, Councillor. I've not heard from Vic Roads that they have any plans to undertake a right-hand turn or provide a dedicated right-hand turn lane at the leg that you're referring to. That's not to say that over time or even now that there is a requirement for that based on traffic volumes at what is becoming quite a busy intersection. I'm certainly happy to take that up with the Vic Roads Regional Manager. We would need to look at that with Vic Roads in the context of the whole of that intersection, so not just that leg, but also the additional set of traffic lights that are further south, quite closely located, because they're all, the timing of the signals is all interlinked, so we would need to look at that whole intersection together. Again, I know this causes the community some frustration, but it is actually a Vic Roads road, and I know I say that repetitively, but it's the fact. We'll continue to advocate for them to make appropriate improvements at that entire intersection. Thank you.
Thank you for your response.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Do I dare ask? Are there any more? No, don't encourage Councillor Matchlick. They will when they're ready. Okay. Thank you, Councillors. Motions without notice. Councillor Mendez.
My motion without notice is that council officers investigate potential sites in Diggers Rest for a dog off lead park and report back to council within 3 months with indicative costing.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Any other motions without notice?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that council report back to the next council meeting the options available regarding the opening or not of Thrice Lane and Gorman Ride. I believe there's been a report done on it, but we haven't seen the completed report yet. I have another notice of motion, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Ready?
Yep.
I'd like to move that we rescind notice of motion 437 for
Madam Mayor, point of order. Yes. Rescinding can't be done in a council meeting.
Okay. I'll do it tomorrow. Thank you, Cathy.
Thank you, Councillor.
Actually, point of order, Madam Mayor, he can do it straight after the meeting.
It's already been done, Councillor Matchlick. It's waiting to happen. Thank you very much. Okay, any other motions without notice? Urgent business? Nil. Okay, there's a procedural motion.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that
a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated under 19.1 and 19.2.
Thank you, Councillor Majdalik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majdalik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. And thank you for seconding most of the things this evening. I appreciate it. Okay, the procedural motion has before us been moved by Councillor Majdalik, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please go outside and enjoy the refreshments. Thank you very much for coming to Council's first meeting for this term, and I look forward to joining you in just a couple.